clubhouse.
I think after all these investigations, I actually think that the only thing we can that can help solve this case is if someone recognizes Jennifer. I'm absolutely positive there are people out there who knows who Jennifer is. So that is what we are hoping for. That's the only thing that can solve this mystery.
This is Sheila. Welcome back to Pod Clubhouse, Love It or Leave It. This is Unsolved Mysteries, Volume 2. Back with us today, we have Sunny and Brandy from the Book of Lies podcast, or the BALP. I love that. Hi, ladies.
Oh, hello.
We're doing good. We're doing good. We just released our 91st episode of Book Yay! Of Lies podcast.
So what's going to be like the 100th episode party? Like, there's going to have to be some...
Oh my gosh, we have to have a party. I love it.
Like,
Sheila.
I think a Zoom party. I think, like, you know, get some of your favorite followers together, you know, your Patreons. Maybe get some of your advertisers in there and just, like, have a big old...
Podcast party.
So I've been checking in with you guys on your podcast because I'm just a true crime fan. I enjoy your podcast so much. The HSBC thing, the cartels, the terrorists.
Yeah.
Little mind blowing. I learned something so new and unique from your podcast every single week. Like, I went back to like the Captain Cook one because I lived in Australia for 2 years and I learned things about him that I didn't know. I like the fact that, you know, you come out and be like, here's what we're talking about today. And it's a surprise for one of you.
Yeah, we've decided to start treating each other with surprises of the episode.
I like it. If you guys are not listening to Book of Lies, I highly, highly recommend. It is unique. It is kind of, you know, one of a kind. So
yeah. I guess like our topics aren't saturated. So I think we do try and thing that's not, you know, kind of tapped out already. And
like, who's bringing up Gregor McGregor?
Brandy.
Yeah.
Just random, like, right? Gregor McGregor.
Oi! Is that a bitch?
But we are back here today to talk some more unsolved mysteries. And cue the spooky music. Because it is also Halloween week.
It's that time.
As promised, Netflix came back with their volume 2 of Unsolved Mysteries. So we did a very in-depth review of the style, the format in our first podcast for Unsolved Mysteries. So rather than rehash that, we're just going to kind of leave you to go back to that one. We're going to bring you up to date as to where like the show left us.
Sheila's like, hey, if you're coming for seconds, go for first if you haven't had it and all the... We covered it all.
As it should be.
There was a couple of stories that we dove into in round one that I think have stuck with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Alonzo Brooks story, the no ride home, the guy who was left at a party by his bros.
Yeah. That was just terrible.
I checked in on this story like a couple of times. Somebody knows something. That was really our takeaway from volume one was like, somebody knows something about these. They've brought in on the first six episodes, 4,000 tips, but most of them came in on that piece of shit, that French piece of shit, Xavier DuPont.
Mm-hmm, with his snaggletooth. Fucking killer. I can't stand him.
Like, that snaggletooth has to be, like, his dead giveaway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look for the snaggletooth. Look at
him. Like. Now people that have a snaggletooth are like, what is she talking about?
They're like, no, they're going to run back and they're going to go watch that episode about that French piece of shit. And they're going to be like, okay, I need to go see the dentist. And we need to fix this because I ain't him.
Right.
But they were getting like clusters of calls from like Great Britain and Chicago of all places. I really highly doubt that he's like hanging out in Chicago. But the Alonzo Brooks story is the one that really kind of left a mark on us, I think. We spent a lot of time talking about it. So he was at a party and it was in the middle of rural Kansas. His friends left him there after an altercation with another party goer. The other party goer was white. Alonzo Brooks was black. I think he was mixed race. I think he was Mexican and black as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're touting this as a hate crime because he was later found murdered. And it was just an awful, awful story. Like, his body was found like a month later. And it was just about a week or so after you guys and I recorded our first podcast, the FBI actually exhumed his body to do additional forensic testing to see if the stories given on the show match the evidence in the case and if they could get anything further from it. And a filmmaker, so the director of that episode, he gave sort of a candid interview where he felt that the friends who were interviewed on the case were not maybe so trustworthy or so forthcoming. They felt that their stories didn't quite jive.
Mm.
Quote was that they could be going so far as to say that they were hiding something.
I can get behind that.
Right? We really liked series one, volume one. The fact that they came back with six more episodes, I think is really, you know, great way for them to keep the interest going rather than having dropped all 12 back in July. I feel like they've gotten lost in the mire. This was a good move on Netflix's part. But I just learned today, in the most 2020 of updates to a show like Unsolved Mysteries, Netflix announced just on Sunday that the show is going to be getting a podcast beginning in 2021.
Oh, are they hiring us?
If you're listening, you've got a few people who are skilled in the podcast genre.
We can consult as well. We'll just charge a consultation fee.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, whatever you want to do, Netflix, we'll help you out.
Like, they're getting some free press here.
Dude, I'm telling you, a majority of our content comes from straight Netflix.
It's going to feature new cases that were not previously discussed on the show, so brand new cases. Mm. It will have a narrator, which is one of our critiques of the show.
Interesting.
That's exciting.
What did you guys think about this season compared to last season?
This season made me sad. This season, it really made me, I just felt like everything was really dark and sad. I mean, it's Unsolved Mysteries. Hello, you know what you're getting in for because it's unsolved to say. But I just felt maybe because a majority of the cases had to do with women and children. Maybe that's why it affected me so much. Like, we'll talk about the episodes, but maybe that's why I just felt like, oh my gosh, this hurts my heart. And then the tsunami episode, oh my gosh, like, I was just really emotional watching it, and I cried one episode. I was just like, oh my God.
Was that the little kids one?
Yes, the stolen kids. Oh my gosh, that broke my heart. I was like, oh my gosh. I hope we will talk about it, but oh my gosh, I cried. I cried.
I watched it, and I don't know, I guess maybe it was just my frame of mind at the time that I watched it, but I could not get into it the way I got into part one. Or I didn't get to watch all of them because, like, I would watch it, I would turn it on, and then I would do other things. So I was like, okay, I need to, like, watch it where, like, nothing is distracting me. And also, I'm doing a bunch of other things. So yeah, I'm distracted.
You know what? I'm going to say I agree with both of you. I found it hard to binge these. Like, whereas the first volume that came out, like, I kind of watched them, I think, in two settings. They're 45 to an hour long each. And I kind of devoured it the first go around in about two sittings. This took me a lot longer. And partly maybe because it is so heavily dark. Like, it is on the darker side. I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything about the stories that didn't grab you, because when I finally did focus on the story, I was like, oh my God. The guy in Washington, D.C., the lady who disappeared into the lake, like, all of these have such heavy, dark undertones, as you both have said. It was hard for me to dig into it.
Yeah, it's like you pulled yourself up to the table. You could only have one bite. The first time around, you're just like, okay, let's eat it up. This time it was like, like, this is interesting, and these stories definitely need to be told. That's why we're here. But it was a tougher cases, I would say. We're gonna get real dark, y'all.
Do we just want to say if we love it or leave it, and then we'll go into the episodes?
Sure.
All right, Sunny, you go first. You watched all the episodes this time.
Watched all the episodes, and this is really tough. Like, if you are a true crime fan, if you want to see justice, if you want to help, you know, some people and have to invite these stories into your life, I would love it for that, to watch it. If you just don't want to cry, which I cry, I'm a big baby, I would say leave it. If, you know, you're affected by, like, women and children and just really bad stuff, I'm on the fence. Personally, I would not watch it again. Just say that. I don't know what to say.
Well, considering that I have to actually like go back and pay attention, that doesn't help me very much.
I'm sorry. Like she was right. It was just dark and it was just like, oh, I'm carrying this with me, you know?
Woo.
Sorry. I didn't give an answer, huh? Okay. All right.
I got both in there. I heard both.
Like I wouldn't rewatch, but maybe like it. Is that one of those things?
Yeah. It's a love it or leave it. So like is in the middle. And again, like, you know, you have to preface it. Like it's dark. It's true crime. I mean, these are people who've suffered, right? So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we're not psychos. We do have to preface it by saying that, you know, we don't take enjoyment from this.
No.
That's true. That's true.
Well, Brandy, you haven't watched all of the episodes. What didn't you watch?
I didn't see the last episode. I saw the first three and the children one. So
did you not see Tsunami Spirits?
Yeah, that one. I saw part of it, but I like a good ghost story, so that always, you know, I'm into that. Just like the Alien.
This is good for the ghost story. Yeah, so Tsunami Spirit for me was like the equivalent of the Alien one in the last one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
There's really nothing to solve. It is a good ghost story. I mean, it's dark because, I mean, like almost 20,000 people lost their lives that day.
Yeah.
But like what they get into in that episode, and we're not going to like spoil it for anybody, but it is a good ghost story.
We'll spoil it later in a few minutes.
Yes, exactly. So you get like the warning, you get a big warning before we're going to start giving spoilers. So Brandy, of what you watched, are you going to recommend this to somebody?
Okay. So the second episode, I don't know if I would recommend that just because I'm like, I don't want to spoil it. So I won't, but you know, I'm just like, okay. But I feel like the show, like this, I keep wanting to say season, this volume would be definitely beneficial for somebody who like is into trying to solve mysteries for sure. So yeah, I would recommend it.
So I'll say love it with a caveat.
So I'm going to say I love it with a caveat as well. So first of all, I'm not a psycho. I don't take pleasure in other people's pain and suffering. But this did feel like more of a don't fuck with cats kind of a storyline. But with the throw out to the audience that this is something that can be solved. Like the Death Row Fugitive one, the Lester Eubanks one, that one is primed.
Ooh, yeah. Somebody's going
to
get him.
To be unearthed. You know, that one was definitely an internet sleuth nugget that is just like, here, guys, go have the carrot. Let's figure this one out.
Yeah. That's why they brought him. That's why they brought it on. That's what they're saying. They're like, this case needs to be solved. Like, this is wrong.
We need to get this guy. Yeah. Cause, and the death in Oslo one too, like that, like if someone looks at that sketch of this woman, like someone's going to remember a girl from their high school, be like, God, we never heard from her again.
I have my theories about that one.
So I would recommend this if you are somebody who likes a mystery, and if you're a true crime fan, this is definitely something in that genre. I found like volume one to be more compelling. This one just like it sagged on my heart. Like I'm really going to agree with Sunny on this one. Like,
yeah, so monster.
It's hard to say, like, I love this. Like, you should go out and watch this. But yeah, I think for the true crime genre, for people who want to contribute in a way, the way that in Unsolved Mysteries in the past, oh my God, what's the John Walsh one? America's Most Wanted. Those are like the nuggets I feel that this is for.
Right.
And I give kudos to the producers for finding, again, stories that have not been saturated out there in the market of true crime, because it is a wide market and there is just a lot of overlap. So I haven't heard any of these stories before. Yeah. So now we're going to go into the heavy on the spoilers. We're going to talk about most of these episodes in some way, shape or form, telling you what you need to know about them and how you can help. So you've been warned.
Right.
Do it.
You've been warned. Let's talk about Oslo. Let's talk about the
there were some burning theories there, right? Burning
yeah. Theories. Death in Oslo. That's what it was called. That was the second episode.
So can I be honest? I legit drove into this one first because I thought it was about another case that I knew about from Norway. I thought it was about the Death in Ice Valley case. Do you guys know about this?
No.
Nope.
There was a lady from 1970 who basically they think that she's some sort of a spy, but she died under very suspicious circumstances. She had no ID. She has not been able to be identified. They basically have her frozen somewhere in Norway on the hopes that they can one day identify her. So I thought that this was that case. And I was just like, yes, we're going to find out some more stuff about this. There's this really great podcast. It's called Death in Ice Valley.
You got tricked, huh?
Yeah. So let's hear your theories.
Okay. If you guys didn't watch it already, I'll give you the, they find this woman. Actually, I felt like she kind of Soho grifted them as well, because they didn't really, what brought them to her room was that she didn't have a credit card on file. The room wasn't paid for, and she'd been in the room for like 3 or 4 days, right? And that's why security made their way to her room. So I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. Let's figure this out. And they find a woman in the room from a quote unquote self-inflicted gunshot wound to the forehead, right? So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's a spy and somebody got her before she could get them. So that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, oh my gosh, this was a hit. She was a spy. That's why she didn't have any pants. Who she is.
Okay, so you think it's a hit.
Well, I think she was a spy, and the spy that she was after got her first, or whoever her target was got her first.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like women don't typically, like when if they're going to commit suicide, they don't typically shoot themselves in the face. They put the gun in their mouth because of vanity reasons. Their theory about that is a little bit off. I couldn't say. I just think it's really strange that there's this woman. Nobody knows who she is. How does she check in without a credit card? How did she get in there? Unless she, like, you know, managed to finagle her way past a doorman or something and snipe a key. So, yeah, she had to be doing something.
When there was no like hotels.com or Expedia where you could prepay your hotel room, you booked the room, you checked in with a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And she had no ID on file and no credit card.
And they said it was a fancy hotel in Norway as well. They were like rock stars partied here. Like there's no way that she should have been able to get in. So she definitely had some moves, because she checked in, she wrote down an address and a name. And apparently there may have been someone that checked in with her. There was that whole mystery. But I wanted to see like camera footage of her going to the room and leaving the room, and there was no camera footage. I was like, what's going on here? There's so many
A plaza hotel, like a 5-star hotel, to not have security footage of the lobby. Come on.
Shady.
Come on. I understand it's 1995, but knock it off, please.
But it's not that long ago.
Right.
We had security cameras.
And then they were like tracking the room key, and they're like, oh, well, she definitely came in at this time, or you know, the key was used. You know, she obviously didn't need to use the key to get out, so we weren't tracking her out activities but just her in. There was just a lot of back and forth, and then the guy in who was investigating, he went deep. He was like, he did her genealogy, and he like went to the place where she wrote the address and was like, hey, do you know this chick? Like, he was obsessed. I was like, why is he so obsessed with this woman?
He wants to know what's going on. But if you, if this came across your desk and you're like an investigator or a cop, you'd probably be like, I am not going to quit until I get this freaking solved.
But I was so annoyed at the cops, because initially they were saying like, oh, this was a suicide. And I'm like, wait a second. They showed like how her hand was on the gun. I'm like, this is BS.
Mm-hmm.
She was holding the gun basically upside down.
Yeah. And they were like, and it's a powerful gun or whatever. Like, it had a bunch of kickback or something.
So I asked people in my life since I watched this episode, you know, being the good internet sleuth that I am. So people who have like ballistics training, like cops and court officers and people who, you know, have guns as a hobby. If you have a Browning 38 caliber, whatever the gun was, it was a Browning something or other. I was like, and you tried to shoot yourself in the head. And I'm like, you know, basically reenacting how that they did this with this woman, they're like, there's no way the gun lands in her lap. Even if she's laying on the bed, they're like, the gun would be halfway across the room because of the recoil that it would have generated.
Yeah, it would have popped right out of her hand.
Like, the way that she was holding the gun, there's no way she would A, be holding the gun that way, and B, be holding the gun after a shot like that.
Directly to the forehead, exactly.
I don't think anybody who's going to try to kill themselves is going to kill themselves using a gun to the forehead. That is an execution style shot.
Right.
I agree.
Just all the other little weird things in the... So most people who kill themselves do leave a note for somebody who's left, you know, after them.
Mm-hmm.
The gun had the etching removed. There was no toiletries, which is weird because toiletries are very local to where you're from.
Yeah.
You know, right? So if I buy like a Johnson & Johnson baby powder here, it's going to have like a U.S. label. If I buy it in Belgium, it's going to have a Belgian label. So your toiletries are very local to where you're from, basically. The labels on her clothes and the fact that she had no pants other than what she had on her.
Yeah, she removed all the labels on her clothes.
Yeah, that's weird.
She was Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga. She's just like, oh, forget these pants. I'm not wearing no pants. Pants are for suckers. I don't know.
Moved the way she wanted to. They probably had a bunch of DNA on them pants, and they were like, oh, we got to take these pants.
Oh, you think someone took her pants? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, my internet sleuthing only goes but so far. Did they have like DNA in 1995? Like DNA capture?
They collected. Yeah. So. They started collecting DNA. Yeah, they collected it, but they didn't have DNA analysis the way they do now.
Well, I mean, the mystery is the woman gave a fake name. Nobody ever knew who she was. She had no passport. She had no identification. She shouldn't have been in the hotel. She ends up dead. And to this day, they don't know who she is. They've created sketches and they're passing them around like Europe or something, trying to figure out who this woman was and what the situation was. And it's weird.
So the fact that she was able to get into the hotel without ID, without a credit card, is this like an inside job within the hotel? Like, did somebody get paid at the front desk to do something? Because they also, the journalist who's been following this case for all these years, you know, he was saying that the Oslo Accords were going on kind of around the same time, that she may have been from some sort of intelligence agency. So I'm wondering if like the hotel clerk might have been on the take.
Ooh, that's very possible. Like anybody can be bribed. So all you need is the right amount.
And if I'm making, you know, hotel clerk wage in 1995 and I might get like a, I don't know, $10,000 payday, I'm not sure. I might be like,
oh shit. Hell yeah. Damn.
Come on in.
Look it. I thought we was going to talk about like $100 or something.
I don't know. I figure if we're talking about, you know, some big spy agencies, they got some dough that they can like throw around.
They
and
do.
Then the other thing that bothered the hell out of me was the fact that the police destroyed evidence. Like, it got to be a year in the case and then they destroyed the evidence as per procedure.
Stupid.
As per procedure.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, procedure kind of goes out the window when you have someone who's unidentified.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, that's terrible.
Like, I have a background in healthcare and so does my mom. And when I was a young teenager, there was a young man who was brought into the hospital and he was unidentified. He came in, he was hit by a taxi on a rainy night and his wallet was nowhere to be found. This was before cell phones. The staff, including her, went on an all-out blitz to try to find out what this guy's name was because he was not going to live.
Yeah.
The nurses on their day off went back to where he was hit to try to find, does somebody know, is anybody missing from work today? And they ended up finding this guy, who wow. he was. His friend actually came into the emergency room saying, like, I can't find my friend. Was he brought here? Do you have anyone? And they gave his name. And they're like, no, we do have an unidentified male from last night. And they said they'd gone out to dinner and he went to catch a cab and no one's hurt. He didn't show up for work the next morning. To have somebody who's unknown, you don't just do things as procedure. The story gets weirder because the guy actually comes from like the next hometown for where my mom comes from in Ireland. My mom comes from the teeny tiniest, smallest place in Ireland on the West Coast. And the guy comes from the next town over.
Wow.
It was so weird. They got his wallet, basically from the scene. The phone number was one digit off from my mom's brother.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. That actually like took me on a tangent because there's a whole thing about all of these DNA rape kits that have not been processed. So there's a lot of people a lot of sexual assaults that haven't been solved because they never processed these kits. But that's a different story. So
yeah, lots of weird things around this case. I thought it was interesting how they went to like the carbon dating to test the nuclear substances in the air to get her birth date. I like the technology that they used.
Yeah, that right there is true science. That's like people who don't believe in dinosaurs.
Wait, people don't believe in dinosaurs?
Oh yeah, there's people that don't believe in dinosaurs.
Wait, people don't believe in dinosaurs?
They want to argue against that.
I was genuinely like shocked. I'm like, wait, what?
Random stuff comes out of my mouth sometimes.
I'm not questioning you. I'm questioning the people who are like, dinosaurs didn't exist.
That was great.
There are people who don't believe that dinosaurs are a thing. Like, they really do. They're, you know, they're the fundamentalist Christians, but they
they don't believe dinosaurs.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
But that's how they do it. They carbon date. So yes, if they can solve a, well, they can try to solve a murder, they can definitely tell you that dinosaurs existed. That's all.
I feel like my whole childhood's been a lie. No, I'm kidding.
It's been a lie. It's been a lie. Which episode do you want to talk about, Trila?
You know what? Let's just go whole hog here. Either Death Row Fugitive or the lady, not Stolen Kids or the Death Row Fugitive, because these were the two that sunk my heart the most.
That sent you, really?
Yeah. That sent me over the edge. So Stolen Kids made me cry.
That's the one that made me cry too, girl. Oh my God, I was crying.
Not just one. It was not two. Just two. And just the end. The end of the episode when they showed like 12 or 14 kids.
All those age progressions, yeah.
Like, I have a little kid. My husband and I, we fought really, really hard to conceive him. I mean, you know, we had a journey. It was a medical journey. And mm-hmm. It sucked. But never occurred to me to abduct a child.
No.
Like, never once. So, thankfully, that worked out for us. But, so I'm also from New York City. I grew up in the 80s in New York City. Mm-hmm. So this one resonated a lot for me on a lot of levels. My mom actually remembers the story that these two kids, like she, because I asked her about it. She saw like Mary Murphy, she was a journalist on, I think she was on like Channel 11 News here or something like that. So like the footage brought me back, like the police car, the blue police cars that you see like Ghostbusters, like those were for real. And like New York City was really gritty in those days. It feels like light years ago from where like Manhattan is now.
Yeah.
Just seeing that and hearing these mothers talk about their kids and their, like, it got me in such pockets of my heart. This one took me two pauses to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's messed up. It's super messed up the way it happened. What really made, okay. So two babies are stolen, you know, at two different times from the same park, but like on the same time and day, you know, the two children were taken or whatever, less than 2 years old, like what, 18 months to a year old or something. For the moms who say like, you know, she went to the store or whatever, and she had left her baby in the park with like her sister and her grandma and all the other kids, and they were all playing, and for the baby to just like come up missing, that's just heartbreaking. Like, you know, they take us through her going back and looking for her baby and like just emotional in the park and stuff. And I cried. What made me sad was at the end also when they tell us a story of a missing kid that was found.
Yeah.
Remember that one? The girl, she did a DNA test and she was just like, I just felt a little, you know, off with my family. And I guess there was something going on with her. I think she was trying to have a baby as well or something. She did a DNA test and found out that she's not who she was raised to be. And she was a missing child. And then like when they reunited her and her mother, like I was just like, I was so happy. Like my heart was just so happy for that woman. And I wanted that for these women that were on the show. And I just like I cried. I prayed for them.
You and know, like missing persons for me, I think are the worst because you just don't know.
Yeah.
Murder is horrible. Other crimes are truly horrible. But the not knowing, I can't imagine how crushing that is. And to live with this for 30 years.
Yeah.
Man.
And like, and the age of these two children, these two young boys, is that they're not going to remember.
Nope. No. Sure aren't.
They're not going to remember their mom. And like, oh my God, like even saying that now, I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It's just that. And then the second woman whose child gets taken, she was kind of like what you were saying, Sheila. She said she was having a hard time getting pregnant and this baby was her miracle baby. And yeah. She said, I never let the baby play with nobody. I never take my eye off the baby and I do it for 1 second and my baby's gone.
Yeah, she said the first time I let him play with other kids, she goes, I made such a mistake. And I was like, oh yeah, my God. Oh.
Damn, that hurts. That hurts so much. It hurts. Oh my gosh. I was just like, this is horrible. Why are they making us watch this?
But then when they showed the young girl who was reunited with her mom, it was giving me like a false hope. I mean, I for a second, like I forgot I was watching Unsolved Mysteries. Like,
right?
they're showing us this. They're giving me this really nice dangling carrot and then they're going to yank it away. And then they show, you know, the first mom. And the thing about the first mom whose young boy was taken, Christopher, Choo Choo, they called him. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, she was talking about, it wasn't like one person was with the kids. It was like five of them.
Mm-hmm.
She said it was like her mom and her sister and her friend. And then she's like listing off the, but she just ran over to the store to get something. That's the thing, like, that gets me like right in the throat is like, how many times have you done something similar? Like, you're with yep. your friend, or you're talking, or, you know, even on your cell phone. Like, I'm guilty of this. Like, I'd be looking down at my phone and be like, oh, where'd he go?
Where's the kid?
You know, for like that half a second, it feels like 5 minutes have elapsed. You're like, I don't have eyes on him. Where is he?
Yeah.
I can't even say that this is a parent's worst nightmare, because it's beyond a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time. It's still happening. There are still children being taken. There's still children, like, children missing. There's still people waiting, hoping that their lost child is found. So this is not new. It's sad. It's so sad.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, there's hope, but then, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, what if that happened to me? And you have kids, and it's there's way too many emotions that are involved in that type of scenario.
Yeah. The girl who found her mother, did the DNA test and somehow found out that she was part of this missing child program. You know, like, DNA through like Ancestry and, you know, 23andMe is opening up so many doors.
Yes, it is.
Not just to, you know, families, but to law enforcement as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people need to trust the system enough to like go get their DNA done. I have found out I'm really Irish. like, I'm basically a potato.
Yeah, basically a potato.
and a little Spanish. So I was contacted by this woman, and she said that she's a cousin and she was trying to find her family. She was adopted.
Oh my gosh, that's me.
Yeah, so she was adopted, and she found a full sister out there through her DNA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, found a half brother. It was crazy. And she's like, now I'm just reaching out to cousins. I'm like, hey, through her DNA, just basically found a whole new family.
Yeah, that happened to me. I got contacted by a cousin, and because she was adopted, and she was in Florida, and come to find that her birth mother's in Bakersfield, and she's got brothers, and now I'm like going through it, because she's like a really close cousin. She's closer than actually a cousin that I grew up with. So I was like, oh my God, like, we have to find out who your dad is. So I've been calling relatives, trying to find out who her father is. And it's just like, oh my God, it's drama. Cause it has to be through her father that we're related.
Who's your daddy, girl? Who's your daddy?
Like, I fully believe that both of these kids are alive. I mean, kids are adults.
Me too. These are grown ass men. Like, if you are a grown Black man, at least 30 years old, they could have lied about the age, might not know. I would say between the ages of 30 and 35, get yourself a DNA test. Maybe you might be from New York, maybe New Jersey. I don't know.
Maybe you say water kind of funny. I don't know. Maybe
water.
You know,
maybe say a little water, funny.
Maybe say coffee. I don't know.
Coffee. Who knows? Get your DNA test and see where you come from. It's not going to hurt. Okay. You might find out something that somebody's waiting for you to come home. Come on. Do it. Do it.
Because your mommies want to know you.
It's sad. Yeah. It's just a sad episode. And I mean, I'm glad I saw these pictures and how they age progressed them and, you know, everything. And so I hope somebody sees them and say, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so, that looks just like him. Or they're like, oh my God, that's me, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So I really do.
I think that's a really great segue into the other one that made my heart hurt, is the Death Row Fugitive one.
Mm.
This one made me angry.
Angry. I'm with you, hon. I'm with you.
Angry white girl. Like, really angry. This Uh-oh. Whole story stunk from A to Z. It stunk from the time that he was arrested. How do you let a former death row inmate in for life because of a Supreme Court decision that dropped his death row down to life in prison? How does he get into a furlough program?
Tell him, Sheila.
Sorry, my lips are really pursed right now. I can't speak. But how do you go from like the worst of the worst, like you're basically next up to die.
Yep.
And then you're on a van out to like the Pleasant Valley shopping mall.
Shopping and for freaking Christmas gifts. Get out of here.
Christmas. Who's he buying Christmas gifts for? Oh, yeah. All the people who were coming to see him in the last month that apparently he was ramped up. His guest, his visitation list was ramped up.
That's insane.
So I don't care how charming you are. I don't care how nice a man you are. If you are in prison and you are on death row, you do not get to go into a furlough program.
No.
Nope. 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 Do you saw how like the guy talking, how he just looked like he was just so like just no expression talking about it, just how it happened. You know, he's like, well, you know, he must have, you know, gotten been a, I don't know what he was saying, because it makes absolutely no sense. You should know who you're dealing with at all times, and they should not be able to just walk out. It's disgusting.
I'm sorry. And then they had him participating in local art shows.
Oh, yeah. He was famous.
What?
I'm sure he loved it.
Fuck. Let me buy a painting of a child murdering sexual predator, and let's hang that in my living room. Like no. No.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Magically, he escapes some magically. No, they gave him like basically the keys to the kingdom. They're like, bye. Basically, you know, have a nice life. Essentially what they told him.
Have
See you later.
Don't worry. You've got 2 hours to shop and do whatever you want. Just come on back because we trust you.
Right. No guard's going to be with you. What, meanwhile, 6 months ago, you were on death row. They issue an arrest warrant and it's deleted from the system.
How does that happen?
How does that happen? Don't tell me that it was a glitch in the system.
That sounds like an inside job.
Yeah, thank you.
I agree. That's exactly what I thought. Exactly.
Like, I think we need to like look at these number of visitors who are coming to see him and see what their spread is. Right? What's their reach? What's the little like spider webs that, you know, maybe one has like a brother-in-law who works for Department of Corrections. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Man, well, let's talk. What was his name again?
Lester Eubanks.
Lester Eubanks is a murderer. Lester Eubanks is a predator. Lester Eubanks murdered a 14-year-old girl in the 1960s in Ohio. He tried to rape her. She screamed and he shot her twice. She didn't die. He went to go get ready to go boogie at a disco or something. Saw her still on the ground, like in pain, and he killed her with a rock. He's a bastard, and he needs to be caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way that the episode played out, assuming that he's alive still, because he'd be in his 70s now. He's born in 43, so he'd be, what, 77?
Mm-hmm.
His father lived to be a ripe old age, and there was something, I didn't quite follow what they were saying, but at some point, somebody was with him, with the father, and got a call from like from Alabama, and he said it was like his son, and they tracked down all the siblings. The only son possible living in Alabama painting houses could have been Lester.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the way they're finding this out is because they're actually looking, because he has fallen off the radar, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, we still have a prisoner missing from the 1970s. That hasn't been caught, that's not dead. This random cop in the local area went and was talking to the dad, and kind of, you know, that's how that kind of turned over or whatever. I think Lester is hoping and praying that he is forgotten about until he dies. And that's kind of the situation, is that he keeps falling through the cracks. Like, he must know how to find the cracks in the system because he's been slipping through them.
For 40 some odd years, 43 years, whatever it's been.
Sad.
But they also did an age progression on him.
They did.
For this episode. Apparently Twitter's been a flutter.
Ooh.
Yeah. With different theories and different thoughts and sightings of him. So the producer, Terry Dunn-Muir, who worked on the original Unsolved Mysteries, she thinks that this one is the most solvable of the 12 that they've done so far.
Okay.
Just because of the amount of evidence that they have, the age progression, the reach of Netflix, the reach of social media, that somebody somewhere will have seen this man. Someone who's that violent and that just nasty just does not stop doing violent crimes.
That's what I was wondering.
That's very true.
It's a disease. You know, these people are not cured by prison. Once you're a violent criminal, especially if like you're a sexual predator and you're preying on a 14-year-old girl, like, people like that just don't stop.
Nope.
Yeah.
He might have moved around because, like, they showed how many states that he has affiliations with. Mm-hmm. He could have definitely moved around, like, you know, one state a decade.
When he got out of jail in Ohio, he comes straight to freaking California. Like, WTF? Like, are you kidding?
You guys better have, like, your Scooby goggles on looking out for this guy.
Listen, I'm like, jinkies!
That's man. Problems.
During the episode, it said that the Marshal Service had a $25,000, the U.S. Marshals, rather, they had a $25,000 reward for the capture or leading to the arrest of Lester Eubanks. They've since, October 19th, they since have now doubled to $50,000. So that is 50,000 reasons to turn in a true son of a bitch.
A true yeah. son of a bitch. Let's find him, guys.
This is like the next, like, don't fuck with cats. It's like, out of everything that this show has shown so far, this one, Alonzo Brooks from the first go around, and the Stolen Kids are the three that I need to have solved.
Mm-hmm.
Get on your computers, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen, I just hopped on Twitter right now, and like, I'm looking at all these these memes. Like, there's this one of Pikachu looking confused, and it's like, prison guards, you can go Christmas shopping by yourselves, but please don't escape. Lester Eubanks escapes.
So I sent to Sunny and Brandy a picture of how in the world could, you know, somebody check into a 5-star hotel with no ID and no credit card, and then you see a picture of Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone 2 going, prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the first time that's happened with a prisoner on furlough.
Oh.
My deceased journalism professor actually won a Pulitzer for covering a story like this in Massachusetts, where a prisoner who was in prison for life was on a furlough and he walked away, robbed and raped a little girl. And I believe he murdered. Yeah, he murdered a little girl he was a murderer, robbed a little girl and raped her. And they caught him. He didn't manage to escape. But, you know, it was like a thing where they're like, why are you guys allowing violent criminals to have furloughs? And this was in the 80s.
People who commit bank fraud or SEC fraud, they can get a furlough. They're like, they're not harming people. They're harming people's pocketbooks. It's different.
Well, don't let them furlough at a grocery store or in the store. They're going to steal all the stuff from the store.
But I just don't understand the furlough program at all. Like, you've gone to prison because you broke the law. That's the rule. Like, you should just go to prison until your debt to society is paid and or we've killed you, as a good society does. I actually don't like the death penalty, but in this case, I'll make an exception.
There's always the exception. Yeah. For monsters, these people are monsters. Like, you take a life, we take your life. I think that should be the way it needs to be.
These people, they steal innocence, they steal lives. Don't kill drug dealers, kill murderers and rapists.
Rapists and child pedophiles and things like that. But there's a few more episodes that, you know, just are noteworthy. The Washington Insider one had me scratching my head quite a bit.
I think that guy went off his meds. I think he went off his meds and was just like living his best. Well, he wasn't living his best life because he died, but I don't know. And then that limp, I was like, what happened? Did he get beat up? Like,
and he's carrying his shoe. I mean, there was just so many things that were just disconnected that I think your assessment is true, that it was just, he went off his meds and he basically met the wrong person at the wrong time, at the wrong moment.
Right. And he had no sense of direction, right? He had no sense of direction.
Yeah, he kept losing his car. He would end up taking a cab home because he couldn't find his car.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And apparently he was like lost without his phone. It had all of his stuff in it. And so, like, their theory was that he was suspicious of the house across the street or something. I guess they were making too much noise. And they think he was the one that, like, set off the smoke bombs. The house was, like,
under construction, though.
Right. That's why his phone was over there. There's going to be noise, my friend.
But somebody probably saw something. There's probably some security footage if they just keep looking. But it is a long time ago, so who knows how much security footage is kept.
You guys want to talk about some ghosts?
Yeah, we'll talk about some. So we'll wrap it up with some ghosts.
You guys want to talk about some ghosts?
The tsunami spirits one. You guys live in California, and I got to tell you that earthquakes are literally the scariest natural disaster in my mind.
Oh,
hurricanes. Not. We get like, you know, weeks, days notice that these things are coming and we can prepare or leave, you know, whatever our plan is. But earthquakes?
Yeah. No.
Hard pass.
Earthquakes are no biggie. The tsunami that comes after the earthquake is what sucks.
Yeah, it depends on where you are in the wake of that earthquake. Like us, like we're in the middle of California. We're like, we are in Southern California, but we're still like in the desert. So we don't have any water to worry about. But right. Tsunami Spirits, that was messed up. Like the tsunami of what, 2011?
You know what sucks about that is that I was in Humboldt at the time. So I was in the earthquake that caused that tsunami.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
But just seeing that wall of water approaching as fast as it was just such, I mean, watching
it's terrifying.
It was such a hopeless feeling. Like, there's no way to get away from
they that. Couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. So what? Yeah. The earthquake that hit them was like a 9-pointer, right? It was like a huge yeah. earthquake
yeah.
That happened in the middle of the ocean, causing a tsunami. And apparently they've been through tsunamis before, but nothing mm-hmm. that big.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. Yeah, so there was like 16,000 confirmed dead and 2,500 still considered missing.
Oh my gosh, it's sad.
And then all these supernatural instances events started happening.
Yeah.
It's a haunted town, a haunted country. It's like weird.
What they were saying is like, you know, certain Japanese religions are super spiritual. And so they're just like, I guess the tsunami happened so fast and people didn't even know they died. I get that. Sometimes I wake up, I don't know where I am. So if I woke up dead, I'd be like, hello, who are you? Oh, I'm a ghost. That's messed up. You know, there's a lot of confusion there. I feel like I'm a ghost, but that's
I'm a ghost. That's messed up.
I'm a ghost. That's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a moment where they talk about like the shoji. So it's the very thin wall that they use to like slide between basically like their house, right? So I don't know if you guys have ever like watched or read Harry Potter. To me, that was like the veil. Like they talk about like death being like a shoji, like it's a very thin veil. I'm like, oh, it's like the veil from Harry Potter. That was just me. There's a way to describe it. Like the dead are always around you, but you just can't see them because they're standing behind this veil.
I believe that.
I believe in ghosts. They exist. There's been times in my life where I'm like, I am not alone in here.
We have relatives that see ghosts.
They've been home alone and things have happened. Like things have been in places where like if I'm home for days alone by myself, like I know where things are. And things just mm-hmm. sometimes haven't been moved. Less now that there's more people living in my house. There's definitely instances where I've felt ghostly presence in my, and not in a scary way, not in a bad way. It's like, all right, hi.
Yeah. That's just me. And you're in New York, so definitely there's probably ghosts. For sure.
You're in New York, there's definitely ghosts.
Because I mean, New York is one of the oldest settlements in the country, so you know, there's hundreds of years worth of ghosts. Like we're in California, in the desert of California, where literally nobody has lived. So like we're not gonna come into contact with
you
ghosts.
You guys are still like an experiment out there.
Right. You know? Or like if you lived in the South, you're probably ghosts.
Yeah, there's definitely ghosts in the South. I live not too far from like the Amityville house.
Oh, hell no. Sheila, we gotta get off.
So we can ride past it on like my friend's boat and things like that. So yeah, there's ghosts around. But some of the stuff that happened in this episode were just so creepy, so scary. And like, if those things happened to me, I'd be like, you know what? It's time to move. I'd be like Jordan Peele. I'd be like, get out. Okay, I'm gone.
Yeah. If somebody hails a cab and then you look in your rear view and they're gone. Yeah, that's a thing.
The lady knocking on the door in her dripping wet clothes and it's a clear night. No, I'm out.
I'm right?
Like if ghosts gave her are manifesting, if ghosts are manifesting themselves, the kid's toy turning on. I was like, yep, I'm done. I'm out. that would not bring me comfort. Because, wait, Sunny, you have kids, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I've got them.
Like, I'm sure in sometime in your child's life, some of their toys have just randomly gone off on their own.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's always been like one of these moments I'm like, why? Why are you doing this? You know?
And you here.
Because like something is like in the on position. But like if my child died, God forbid, and that happened, I would be like, okay, you know what? We're getting rid of all this stuff.
Yeah. Or would you feel comforted if you did, you know, lose your child?
I don't think so. I don't think I would feel comforted, no.
Like if it was their favorite toy and you saw it like
lights were blinking on it or something. Like, obviously there's somebody playing with this toy right now. You'd be like, no, sir.
I don't know. I mean, maybe if it was his favorite toy, and that's what the mom did say, that it was his favorite toy. Maybe that would be a source of comfort, like a sign that he's okay. I can't even talk about this. I can't even talk about hypothetical.
It's okay. Hard pass. Hard pass. It's all right. We can't make you like the ghosts.
No. But I mean, like, but the way that you framed it, like saying that, like, a favorite toy, like, that could be a comfort. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The poor man where he found his daughter.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
This season was hard. I'm going to say that. Yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going back to what we said in the very beginning. This season was hard for me. Yeah, it's
tough. It was tough. This one was just like a lot of death, despair. And when they were telling the story, they were like, okay, first we got hit by an earthquake. Then we got hit by a tsunami. Then all of our houses blow down. Everybody's all over the place. We're screwed. And then the snow comes in. And like, you know, it was just hit after hit after hit.
It's like somebody's reading the book of Revelation here. It's like we're just going back to each of the places.
Yeah, it was rough. It was so rough. And it was just like, God, this is horrible. This is horrible.
This also was the same earthquake and tsunami that affected the Fukushima nuclear plant.
Yeah.
Oh,
this was the same, you know, turmoil that all resulted in all of that heartache and hardship as well. So, and they mentioned it very briefly because they talked about the snow coming and then the nuclear plant was affected. And that's all they said about the nuclear plant.
Oh, yeah, because that's what they were saying. They couldn't run the cremations or whatever. They couldn't cremate everybody the way they needed to be cremated.
Yes. Yeah.
So terrible.
Oh, gosh. And it's just like that terrible woman who actually like saw spirits like on the regular. She was just like, man, these spirits kept coming up to me. And I was like, you dead. Go home.
You dead.
No, she didn't say that.
Your cousin has had that happen to her. And she had to tell them, you're dead. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, she lives in the South as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's kind of it for me with this season of Unsolved Mysteries. This one was harder for me, and I agree with both of you, your assessment of it, that it felt very personal. It was very much about women and children and
right?
Hitting hard in all of those emotional areas. But I think it's also intentional to get people embroiled enough in the story to want to find a resolution, to comb through the cobwebs of their mind, to like search these faces and think about it. I like the fact that this was very much of an international story, so much more so than the first season. But yeah, that I think that's my assessment of it, that they made it very personal so that this way people sit up and take notice to want to get them solved. I think it's a love it for me in the sense of the love it or leave it. Like, I wouldn't want to walk away from these stories and not talk to them, talk to people about them. Like, I have a friend of mine who lives in Oslo. I'm like, hey, you should watch this because maybe this, and he was about 18 years old. So I told him, it's like, you know, you should watch this episode and, you know, pass it on. So like, for me, like, that's my contribution to trying to get this solved, is that, like, hey, somebody who's in Norway, like, have your dad watch this, because he was working in downtown Oslo near the Plaza Hotel. So maybe he saw something.
Maybe.
I would love to be instrumental in finding out something like that, or like in solving something like that.
I just don't think my life is ever going to be that interesting that I would actually have a role to play in that. But
Yeah,
we're doing it right now. We are changing lives right now. We are.
That's right.
Listen, Sheila, you are making a difference. We are making a difference.
Oh, God.
Wow. Okay, we need to put that ghostly voice back in the box.
Spooky.
Spooky.
Yeah, we went deep. We went real deep.
Sunny, let's get some final thoughts from you. Love it, leave it.
Final thoughts. I'm going to leave it in the closet for only October, and I'm just going to leave it right there because it is personal. I felt like they were attacking me because I'm a woman and I have children, and I cried. For myself, I'm too jolly for this nonsense, but I think the stories really needed to be told to really get some more awareness put out there. But, you know, I said leave it. Sorry.
She's like, it got all up in my fifis. I'm not having it.
Not my fifis.
All right, Brandy, take us home.
I'm still going to say love it, just because if you're into, like, don't watch the ghost episode if you're, like, a spooky person. Like, you know, like, Sunny doesn't watch horror movies, so I'm sure she was, like, freaking out on that the tsunami episode. But otherwise, you know, it sucks, you know, to have to see stories like this. But at the same time, they're on here so that, you know, the community can help solve them. So, yeah, do that. Watch and help solve.
Yeah. Sheila?
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I feel like these stories were designed to tug at the heartstrings to get us enraptured enough to reach out to the friends who live in Oslo to say, hey, you know, you should watch this. And because this is right around the time that, you know, you people would have been, you know, around these places and taking notice, like not being a 7-year-old child, you know, not aware of anything, and telling people who live in Harlem who, you know, hey, 2 little kids were taken here 32 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, your mom might have been like one of the kids in the park with you, you know, as maybe a 5 or 7-year-old child, if there's someone like my contemporary, you know. So, yeah, I'm doing what I can, because like none of these stories really relate exactly to where I live. But, you know, I got my eyes peeled, and, you know, if I can help out in any way, that's what the show is designed to do. So the actual like Unsolved Mysteries website has a tip acceptance webpage. Like, so like, you know, instead of a contact us page, they have a tip page where like, if you have information, you can leave your contact details, you can leave whatever details you have, and then they sift through it and send it on to law enforcement. The show itself is trying to do a good job, and I'm looking forward in a way to the podcast that they have coming out in early next year, because it's just going to be more stories to help try to solve. And if these stories don't have the light of day and have a platform like this, they don't have a chance of getting solved.
Yeah,
that's really where my love it comes from. Again, it's not because these stories are going to make my day or, you know, make me happy, but it is somebody's heartbreak. And if somebody out there knows something, then and they can ease that heartbreak just a little bit by giving somebody some information, some closure, I'm here for that.
We are here for it.
We're here for that.
I want to thank both of you for coming back out to Pod Clubhouse to talk to us about this. I really enjoy spending time with you, spending a night with you. It's a lot of fun, despite the topic of conversation that we seem to always be on. I just want to say thank you for coming back out to Pod Clubhouse and for joining us for this Love It or Leave It. If you're in the true crime, truth-finding podcast genre, check out Book of Lies podcast. It is phenomenal. It is fabulous. And Brandy and Sunny will definitely teach you something, and you will walk away and you will feel a little buoyant, a little more buoyant than you would if you watch Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, a little lighter.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely a very interesting topic of conversation. So every Tuesday you guys drop an episode?
Yes, ma'am.
Every Tuesday.
Yep. So you want to give your social media handles? How can people contact you guys?
Yeah. So you could connect with us on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram or Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast. You could message us, DM us, or you could go to our website, bookoflicepodcast.com, and all of our info is there, and all of our episodes is there too.
Fabulous. So thank you for joining us at Pod Clubhouse. You can rate, review, and subscribe this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you for joining us for our Love or Leave It. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.